Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy is a combination of two Greek words, Deuteronomo, which means the second law or the second time that the law is being recounted. Deuteronomy 32, we're going to read one verse together in unison. We're reading from the King James Bible. And we'll read one verse, verse number 7. Deuteronomy 32 and verse number 7. And shall we read together? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Let's pray. Dear God, again, we want to thank you, Lord, for being a wonderful God. I don't think we realize how good we have it. And I know how bad things are. And I know how bad they're going to get. But Lord, I think we've taken for granted how good you've been to us and how good we've had it. And I just think back, Lord, with this sermon here and with Memorial Day tomorrow, the way you've blessed our nation, our people. Lord, help us just to take the next 20, 30 minutes or so and to think about how good you've been to us before we forget how good you are. Bless, I pray. I pray this will be a help this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 7, the Bible says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Most of you know the story of Elimelech and Naomi, who left the land of Israel and went to the land of Moab because there was a famine in the land. You remember the story that as Ruth went, Naomi left, she was married with her two boys. And after a passage of time, while in Moab, her husband dies, her two boys die. And now she comes back, back to the land of Israel. And she says, call me no more Naomi, call me Mara, because the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. And here's what she said, I'm paraphrasing. She says, you know, I left full, but I'm coming back empty. And the only person she brought back with her was Ruth. And that's very interesting because when she left, it was the middle of a famine and she went to Moab because the factories were hiring in Moab and she was moving for the wrong reason. She was moving for money. And she comes back 10 so years later and realizes then, you know, I didn't realize how good I had it when I left. I didn't realize how good the people of God were, the house of God, and the land of God. And I thought if I just went to the land of Moab with Elimelech that we'd make some money while you people live in a famine. And I thought if we'd save some money, come back, we'd have it a lot better. But now she comes back home and she has no more husband. She's buried her two sons in Moab. And all she has, all, I put that in quotes, is Ruth. And she says, I'm coming back empty. She made a mistake also in realizing the worth, or not realizing the worth of Ruth that was coming with her at that time. But regardless, we have a problem in our nation today and in our churches today and in our people today with what I call revisionist history. Revisionist history. We think up in our own imagination how bad we've had it or how bad we have it. Instead of focusing on reality and how good God's been to us. You know the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter number 15. He said, I can't wait till my dad divides up the inheritance. I'm going to take my 50% share and I'm going to go live it up. And you know the story. He goes out and lives with the heathen, Jewish boy, drinking, partying, wasting his substance, everything, his last penny. And he ends up where the swine are feeding, wanting to eat the husks that the swine, a Jewish boy, with the swine. I mean, you couldn't get any further away from God than where this boy ended up. And the Bible is very clear that when he came to himself, the Bible says, he thought how good he had it back home. He thought about his dad. He thought about his mom. He thought about the food. He thought about his servants, his dad's servants. And all of a sudden, he had a reality check. He says, you know what? If I just go back home and be a servant to my dad, I'll have a lot better off than what I have right now. He had a revisionist thought about how bad his home life was. Just like Naomi did about how bad she thought that famine was going to be in Israel. But after he came to himself, the Bible says, he realized that, you know what, his father's servants were a lot better off than what he is right now, and he's made a mess of his life. So he decides on his own to walk back home. No bus, no train, no taxi cab, no airplane. He walks back from Moab back to the people of God. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Judges chapter number 8. Judges chapter number 8. And so, such is the case here with America. You want to have politicians, religious leaders, social leaders tell you how bad America was for the first 200 years, ladies and gentlemen. They want to paint a picture to you of nothing but the Salem witch trials, especially during the month of November, because they don't want you to celebrate and worship God during Thanksgiving time. So they want to tell you how bad and how evil and how wicked our forefathers were and the founders of this country were. It's what we call revisionist history. And Americans have believed that. Judges chapter number 8, in verse number 32, Gideon, the great man of God, and Gideon, the son of Joash, died in a good old age, and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash, his father, in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass, as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. I'll remind you that God, I believe, had spared this part of the world for people to settle here that brought the word of God to this place where God blessed this land like no other land, that sent out missionaries like no other land, whose people who loved God like no other people, ladies and gentlemen. Revisionist history wants to put a cloud over that and say, you know, this is a mean place, and they were bad. They were bad to the savages that were here, and they were very mean-spirited, and they abused their power, and they misused power, and we're glad that we don't have those people anymore in America. Well, I ask you a question. Was America better off the first 150 years or the last 50 years, ladies and gentlemen? Just look at history itself. Just look at the facts themselves. Was this country better off the first 150 years or the last 50 years? Or the last 25 or 30 years? So what we have is we have a deluge that we've been brainwashed with through our media and television and radio and books that America was a bad country and capitalism is a bad system. And that this way of life that we've had, we have to change it because we have to keep up with the modern times. That's revisionist history, ladies and gentlemen. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Verse number 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 8, verse number 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, ladies and gentlemen, Americans, pay attention, please. When thou art eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee.
Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, America, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, America, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God. I know this is written to God's people in Israel, but man, there's so many similarities between America in this passage and Israel, ladies and gentlemen. It's unmistakable if you read it. And it shall come, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, America, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. And you're seeing that prophecy being fulfilled in your very eyes. Verse number 20. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. I thank God for all the veterans who have served in our nation's military, especially those buried overseas at sea or in cemeteries stateside, who gave their lives when they were 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 years of age. That all is left today is just pictures on a mantle somewhere where some mother or grandmother, some brother or sister, a nephew or a niece, all they have is a picture of their uncle on a mantle. I thank God for the pilgrims that came and landed at Plymouth Rock, 1620. I thank God for our forefathers. I thank God that the Catholic landed south and the Bible believers landed north in this great North America country. I thank God for Patrick Henry and George Washington and James Madison and John Adams. I thank God for Paul Revere and Nathan Hale. I thank God for men like John Paul Stevens. See, revisionist historians want you to forget men who had backbone and courage, men who loved God and loved their nation more than themselves. We have politicians that love themselves or are in love with themselves more than they love this country, ladies and gentlemen. It is one of my jobs as a preacher, as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to put you in remembrance of even the traitors, not just the heroes, but even the traitors. I want to remind you that not only is Benedict Arnold a traitor, but so is Jane Fonda. I remind you that Islam had no part in the beginning of this great country. The only part that Islam ever had was to destroy this country for the last 30, 40, 50 years, ladies and gentlemen. That's reality history. What you're learning in public schools is revisionist history, that Islam is some kind of a good influence in our country. I remind you that Muhammad, the so-called false prophet, was a child molester, ladies and gentlemen. I remind you, this may not be popular, but this country has given birth to the greatest minds this world has ever known, ladies and gentlemen. This country has produced some of the greatest leaders this world has ever known, ladies and gentlemen. This country has produced some of the greatest missionaries that have ever preached the gospel on foreign fields, who lived short lives because they were tortured and burned and eaten alive for the sake of the gospel. This is the country that I personally believe that through the 1950s, through the 1980s, reached an unparalleled likeness in world history, where the vast majority of the people in this country were better off than any other generation financially than any time you'll ever find in recorded history, ladies and gentlemen, ever. You'll read some historical books and some history books where kings lived good and the rich people lived good, but there has never, ever been in recorded history such a time for those 30 or 40 years that such a vast amount of people in one nation lived so well off and were so blessed by living in this country. My mom, I remember hearing the story. She got off the boat in 1951, and within 24 hours, she got a job. And some of you guys, some of you men with two good hands and two good eyes and two good feet can't get yourself a job. I refuse to believe it. We live in a country that everybody's complaining. Everybody's looking for an excuse why they can't do something. That's revisionism in your mind, in your imagination. You know what I'm talking about. I went back to the old school I went to when I was in junior high. And I walked through the same hallways. And I thought, man, when I was real young, that these hallways were so wide and so long. But because we were so small, we thought they were so big. And I walked through it and I said, wow, this is really a dinky hallway. But in my mind, because I was so small all those years, I thought all these years that it was a long hallway and a very wide hallway. That's because I was really small. I drove by the house where I grew up, but I was waiting for this old big house because all I remember was three floors. My mom used to rent the rooms out. My parents used to rent the rooms out. My mom cleaned the rooms for renters of college students and single men. I thought it was going to be some big house, and I got there. It was a small, little, dinky three-floor thing. And I thought it was a big yard I used to play in the back, but it wasn't that big. I thought the driveway was real wide, but it wasn't that wide. See, a lot of times we have revisionist imagination. And we need a reality check sometimes. And a lot of times if we're not in reality, we're letting our imaginations take over and pervert truth and history.
There was a time in this country where the homes were the foundation of this country, where wholesome and godliness and holiness were taught, where the Word of God was read, where the family gathered around a piano and sang gospel songs and knelt together in prayer before a holy God. See, our homes were places of refuge, like a little place of heaven on earth, where the Bible was memorized, where everybody sat at the dinner table every single night at the same hour, where we went over relatives' houses and they came over our house, where everything was clean and wholesome, where families went on vacation together, not separately. Now you're told that what was old-fashioned back then was just too mean and strict and too overbearing. What you were taught now that were unnecessary rules was just personal responsibility that was taught. What you are taught now that was child labor back then by parents and grandparents were children that worked on the farm and the gardens. What you are taught now is that the patriarchal system that needed to be destroyed was once a place where a family lived safe and they were protected. But today we have revisionist history. We have historians rewriting things because they hate God and hate the Bible. And so now you have revisionist history when it comes to our country and our homes. The homes that produce godly presidents and godly judges and godly leaders and godly preachers. For some reason now we believe the historical books of how bad and how prejudiced and how biased our churches were and how mean-spirited they were. They want to revise your thinking and want you to imagine how bad old-fashioned hellfire and damnation Baptist churches were that brought this country into existence, ladies and gentlemen. They want to make you think that we don't need a King James Bible anymore, that we can use all these newfangled perversions like the NIV, that we don't need the hymns and the gospel songs anymore. We just put everything up on a screen and follow the bouncing ball, just like a big old idiot box television. We don't need songbooks no more. We don't need the old-time religion no more.
We don't need to preach salvation by grace anymore. Baptisms now are a thing by the wayside. Preaching, old-fashioned preaching is laughed at and mocked at. Nobody teaches and preaches on doctrine anymore because it chases too many people away. Just like what you heard in the adult Bible study this morning. I wonder how many churches are teaching that this morning. Yeah. And what you're reading, what you're watching on that television all the time is all these churches are what's ruined people. Because we put limits on people. We bound people. What they're not telling you is how merciful God has been to use these churches to win drunkards and prostitutes and people that are mean and hellish and hellions and save them by the grace of God and get their families together again. But you don't read that in history books. You read about how bad prohibition was. What you don't read is how the families were blessed because dad was home instead of going out to the bars and grills and drinking, and how he wasn't wasting his money anymore and buying the milk for the babies. Yeah, what you have is revisionist thinking going on. They want to tell you how bad our country was. They want to tell you how bad our homes were. They want to tell you how bad our churches were. I want to remind you, it was the pulpits that were aflame preaching righteousness and holiness and separation that preached a merciful and forgiving God that would forgive sinners and save their souls from hell, ladies and gentlemen. Now these things are mocked at and laughed at and hated at. My Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter number 4, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. I want you to remember. My Bible says in Hebrews 10:32, call to remembrance the former days. Psalm 137 verse 1 says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Some of you folks, some of you teenagers, some of you people in your 20s, maybe early 30s, you look at this country and you think this is the only thing you've had. But I think sometimes when I think about my country, I sit down and I weep and I cry. For the country I grew up in. How people were respectful. People loved their parents. People respected authority. Now people chew their gum in front of judges and mock policemen. And you think it's normal. That's revisionist history in your imagination. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9, there was a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Yeah, you remember the television whores in Hollywood? You know the names of the actors and actresses. You know your favorite movie star, your favorite shows. American Idol, boy, if that's not a heathen name, I don't know what it is. And you sit there and you watch that junk. That's American revisionist history. I remember Bill Mallett walking down the streets of Troy, getting people saved. I remember Jeff Seeley walking down the streets of Troy and get people saved. Names not recorded in a history book. The names are not recorded on television. But these poor wise men, by their wisdom, deliver the city. Yet no man remember that same poor man. If you're not careful, you're going to forget how good your parents were. You're going to laugh and mock and criticize them because you think you're smarter than they are. Yeah. We're so full of these evangelical mush churches. I hate to even call them churches. They're just gatherings of people playing the rock and roll music. No King James Bible, no preaching, no standards, no holy living, no nothing. And you think that's what God's blessed. No, ladies and gentlemen, God has not blessed that kind of stuff. 2 Peter chapter number 1, the Bible says, yeah, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He says in verse number 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. You know, some of us know this kind of stuff, but we need to hear this over and over and over again, lest we forget, like we read in Deuteronomy 8, lest we forget, ladies and gentlemen. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter number 16, please. Luke chapter number 16. Now we pop up religious leaders as somebody to look forward to who believes an NIV, who has no standards, who models the waters when it comes to salvation and holiness. We lift those up to an ungrateful people dancing and prancing around in some worship center thinking that they're worshiping God. They're not worshiping God Almighty, that's for sure. Luke chapter number 16. Verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He was having a good time, enjoying himself. I'm sure he was enjoying his vacations. I'm sure he had a big 401k, nice retirement, nice summer home. I'm sure he had his little bass boat or nice yacht on the water. Verse 20, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. You know, it's interesting. When Bill Mallow died, when Jeff Seeley died, they didn't have any money in their bank account, amen. But they had a lot more treasure than you could imagine. Verse 21, this poor beggar Lazarus, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Gross sight, wasn't he? Came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And the Bible says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. You better tell that to Billy Graham, who says there's no fire in hell. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, look at that word. Remember, you laugh at hell. You mocked at hell. The Bible says the fools make a mock of sin, make a fun of old-fashioned preachers, standards that you refuse to keep. You make fun of our standard of the King James Bible. You make fun of street preaching. Yeah. You make fun of King James onlyism. Go ahead. I want you to remind you of this one word. You're going to remember one day, whether you're in hell for all eternity or whether at the judgment seat of Christ, you will remember, ladies and gentlemen. On Memorial Day weekend, you now that have revisionist imagination in your mind, you're going to have a reality check one day, because God's going to say to you, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. You complain when your servants didn't have everything ready, when your car wasn't brought to you by your chauffeur on time, when there was a dent in your Jaguar, when your yacht was still in the shop and it took longer than you thought to get it fixed. And you were complaining about how bad life was. You're going to remember how good God was that gave you breath and God gave you life and God let you live and God let you live in the greatest country in the world and God gave you the opportunity to receive Christ and be your Savior. You're going to remember that for the rest of your eternity in hell. Yeah, you children don't appreciate your parents. You criticize, I don't care if they're saved or lost. Your mom went to the gates of death just to bring you into the world, and you don't even think about her. You don't even call her. You don't even go by and say hello. You don't even appreciate her. You're going to remember. And thou art tormented. Verse 26, and beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Nobody talks about hell anymore. Yeah. Nobody makes a big thing about it anymore. Oh, just do the best you can. Oh, it doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what denomination belongs to. It doesn't matter what religion. They all go the same direction. No, no, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're not going to go to heaven unless you go through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what your God's name is. You're on your way to hell if you're not born again. And you're on your way to a place of torment. And you're going to remember this sermon for the rest of your eternity. You're going to try to put it out of your mind, but you're not going to be able to. For all eternity. Our country doesn't want to remember our forefathers. Yeah, you don't remember how good you had it back home when dad and mom were providing meals for you, putting a roof over your head and clothes in your back. But you'll remember for all eternity you had an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You had an opportunity to come down the altar. I'm sorry, the invitation, amen. You had an opportunity to get right with God, amen. Verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Boy, you would think if somebody just was risen from the dead, they'd believe it. 31, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. What kind of revisionist imagination is going on in your head about this great country that has been wasted by the anti-Christian socialists who have taken it over, that laugh at us because we're now in the minority and have their way with the laws and regulations and the governing of this once great country? What's going on in the revisionist imagination of your mind about how bad it was growing up when you had your belly filled and clothes on your back and a roof over your head? How bad was it? The world wants you to make you think that daddy was so mean when he spanked you. The problem was he didn't get spanked enough, amen. That's the problem with this country, amen. Yeah. Michael Jackson gets on national television and says, my dad, I had problems because my dad spanked me when I was young. His dad obviously didn't spank him enough. Yeah, we have this revisionist imagination going on in our minds. We have a revisionist history in our history books that have downplayed the greatness of the beginning of our forefathers that built this great country out of absolutely nothing except God Almighty. So now, we no longer want the old-time religion. We no longer want old-fashioned preaching and old-fashioned standards. Well, I want to remind you the day's going to come, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know when, I don't know how soon, the day's going to come. You're going to mark it, you're going to see it. You're going to remember, you used to go to a church like this one day. And you're going to tell your kids, you know, you're not going to believe this. You're just not going to believe it. But we used to go downtown, and we used to sing and preach on a street corner, and nobody used to bother us. You're not going to believe this, boys and girls, grandkids. You're not going to believe this. We could go and hand out gospel tracts on a street corner. We could knock on anybody's door and tell them how to be saved, how to be born again. You're not going to believe this. But we used to have a free assembly where we could go and preach the truths of the Word of God, but they outlawed it because it was hate speech. We're not allowed to do that anymore because now we can't, you know, name queers and sodomites like the Bible says, you know. You're going to remember when you had an opportunity to come to church and you chose not to come to church. You're going to remember how good you had it back home and you made light of it. And you're going to remember what a great country this thing used to be. And all those men who lie buried in cemeteries around the world, freeing oppressed people. Our forefathers who'd rather die in liberty than live in slavery to the British crown. Yeah, they were real mean, weren't they? To give us the opportunity to have freedom and liberty today that we take so for granted. I don't know what's rolling around in your imagination, your revisionist imagination in your brain. But you're going to remember one day how good you had it. You're going to remember how
the opportunity that you had to give the gospel out. You'll remember the opportunity you had to worship God. You'll remember the time that you had the opportunity to give your life to God without any repercussions, at least from the state. And very shortly, you'll remember how good it was. And I know how bad it is right now, I do. And I do know how bad it's getting, I really do. But while we have the opportunity, let's do something for God. Before the door closes and freedom is lost completely and liberty has written her last chapter in this once great country, I suggest you do something. I wrote here, last thing I said, never let your memories be bigger than your future. Never let your memories be bigger than your future. We like looking at old videos, old movies, the silent movies, you know, the ones that before no audio. Some of you don't have no idea what I'm talking about. The old black and white photographs. We like looking through those books and remembering parents, grandparents, times in life. But I tell you, never let your memories be bigger than your dreams and your goals or your life itself or your work or your accomplishments or your service for God. Never let the past be more than your future. Paul wrote, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Do not be more nostalgic than making present memories for those coming behind you. It's great to look over pictures and articles and letters, but what's better is to be worthy now of others who will take pictures of us and write articles of us and write letters about us now, so that we are the ones making the memories now for the future, who will remember one day, I grew up in a godly home, I went to a godly church, where I grew up in a half-decent country. I know things are tough right now. I know things are bad. I know they're going to get worse. But I personally refuse to allow past memories or nostalgia keep me from doing greater things for God, so that people who will follow me in the future will say, man, you don't know how crazy that preacher was when I was growing up. You have no idea what he preached about when I was going to church there. You have no idea how strict my family was. You don't have no idea how much we loved each other. You have no idea how good it was. Hey, Memorial Day, 2014. Lest you forget, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell? If you have not, one day it's going to be too late. If I were you, I'd get saved today. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Holy Father, I thank you for the day that some lady gave me a gospel tract, took a King James Bible, and showed me from the Bible how to go to heaven. Dear God, I thank you, Lord, for the day that she invited me for the first time in my life to a Baptist church. I still remember going in there the first time and hearing Jesus Saves, the first gospel song I can ever remember hearing. Dear God, I thank you, dear God, that somebody cared for my soul. I thank you, dear God, that someone's concerned about my eternal destiny. Dear God, help us not to be complacent. Help us not to be apathetic. Help us not just to sit in our own homes thinking how well we had it and how bad it is now, going over pictures and reminiscing over the past and the good times that we've had. Yes, they do make us feel good and melancholy a little bit. But dear God, help us to strive toward the mark, to preach the gospel, to stand for what's right today, so that others, our children, our grandchildren, if you tarry, will look back and say, wow, even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of strangulation and red tape, even in the midst
of people mocking them and criticizing them, they still wanted to live for God. Help us to make those kind of memories for our children and our grandchildren. Thank you, dear God, for our country, for our homes, and for our churches. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.